Well, thank you, Gary, and good morning to each of you. I greet you each in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whether you're here in this chapel before me, live streaming, or sometime in the future you're listening to this on a recording, I do greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I found it kind of fitting this morning. I know not all of you were there for it, but in our Sunday school class, the topic was about the need to study and to know the Word of God. And I wasn't born and raised in the church. I came into the church as an adult. And so I wasn't as studious in the scriptures in my youth as many here before me are. And with my job responsibilities and life and family, you know, times sometimes get stretched thin. And I know that I am not as studious, and I do not read the scriptures as much as I should or that I would desire to. But nonetheless, you know, that I'm now at 56 years of age, and over those years, I have read many scriptures many times over. I've heard them in sermons. I've been in studies. And so I'm not completely naive to the scriptures either. I've read through them a few times and stuff, and yet it never ceases to amaze me that no matter how many times I read through the scriptures, when I find times either through personal study or as I was preparing, asking the Lord, you know, what would be the message for this, and I go through there and something new comes out, you know. Not completely brand new, but more to this than I had seen before. You know, and that's for this morning, the message. I mean, it's going to be familiar verses. We've heard them many times. Maybe some of you have considered some of the thoughts I'm going to put before you this day. Maybe not. But I've read it many times. I have the general story, but as I looked upon them, some new aspects came out. And so I'd like to spend a little time this morning talking about account that we're going to find recorded in two of the Gospels. And if you desire to follow along, and I encourage you to, because we're going to make a comparison, because there are some differences out there. If you'd find your place in the 15th chapter of Matthew and the 7th chapter of Mark, we're going to go back and forth between those. It's the same account, but a little bit, each of them has a little bit something unique to add to the story that I'd like us to take both of them into consideration of this account this morning. And so that's Matthew, the 15th chapter, Mark, the 7th chapter. We will look at a few others, but we're going to be kind of focusing on those. And I want to start in the 15th chapter of Matthew with the 21st verse. Here in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon." And then I'm going to jump over here to Mark, where he adds a little bit here, a little bit more to that than that simple little sentence there in Matthew. Mark chapter 7, verse 24, we read this, "And from thence he arose, and he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered into a house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid." And that part we're going to find because he's going to be located there. But in Mark, we learn a little bit extra than what we read in the account of Matthew, is that Jesus was going there, I don't know his reasoning, but to get some solitude, some time alone. He didn't want everybody to know that he was there. There's several times in scriptures where he did that. He went off apart, sometimes to fast and to pray. There's several times in scriptures where, you know, he found that need to get away from all the people and to dedicate some time. Typically, I see usually to dedicate some time and some prayer or fasting to communicate with his Heavenly Father, to be in his holy presence, you know. I think each of us, and if you have, and I hope at some time in your lives you find time, that you can do the same thing. You find some time to get away from the cares, the concerns of life, and focus upon your spiritual well-being and your walk and your relationship before our Heavenly Father. So whatever the reasons or his motives, we find here, it tells us here in Mark, it says that he entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. In Mark, we learn, well, actually Matthew and Mark both, we find that there's this woman that finds him there. And so I'm going to continue here in Mark, since I'm already there. I'm going to reread that verse and go on to the following one. So Mark 7, 24 and then through 26. And it says, from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid, for a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. This woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And then jumping back over to Matthew, the 15th chapter, the 22nd verse, and it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And so we find this woman that doesn't tell us how she found out, but somehow she's located him. She's found this house that he's gone to. And we know from the text in Mark, it says she's a Greek, a Syrophoenician. In Matthew, a woman of Canaan. But she's not of the house of Israel. And I'd gather from this text that because of that, she probably traveled some distance to come find him. It wasn't just, you know, a block down the street. She had to invest some time and some effort to come travel to find him. And so let's continue here in this text here. I'm going to pick up here in Matthew again. Matthew 15, I'm going to start here at the 23rd verse. And so we just read that she's come to him. And first off, you know, it says, O Lord, thou son of David. She knows about him. She understands who he is. She's heard about him. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. You know, he didn't even, sounds like he didn't even acknowledge her, just ignored her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. It doesn't read it in here, but it sounds like the disciples are coming to him because, you know, she's bothering them and not listening. And she's obviously coming to see him. So now the disciples are coming to tell, you know, make her go away. She's bothering us. So they probably have told her, go away, go away. You're bothering him. Go away. But she wouldn't. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And now let's jump over to this account in Mark, the 7th chapter. I'm going to pick up where we left off there with the 27th verse. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she came to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. I'd like us to consider these verses, this little account here this morning. And a few things. First, as I mentioned as we started, that Jesus, it says, he was trying to hide. He was not wanting to be found. Whatever his reason. You know, he frequently went, there were crowds and people coming after him and stuff. And for whatever the need was, time, at this point, he went in the house in an attempt to hide. He didn't want to be found. But she finds him anyways. And, you know, this is before, you know, cell phones and GPS and all that. So, I mean, I don't know how it came about it, but, I mean, you know, it's not as easy. Like right now, if someone out there, I may not know where they are, but I know where their phone is. I can pick it out. I can punch it in here. Oh, their phone's right there. I don't know if they left their phone somewhere or not, but if the phone's with them, you know, I can figure out where somebody's at pretty quickly. We have GPS, all kinds of things. Just call and ask. But she found him. But once she finds him, our account here in Matthew says that but he answered her not a word. No, she's come for it. She's, you know, she's put in this effort to come and find him. And she's pleading with him. It says here, you know, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Sometimes don't we feel like that in our prayers? That, you know, we pray, we pour our hearts out, and yet sometimes we think we don't hear a word. We think that we're not being heard. But you know what? She's not deterred, is she? That doesn't stop her. The disciples tell her to leave. I don't know what words they, you know, look, he's not going to talk to you. He doesn't want to be bothered out there. Go away. He comes some other time. I don't know what they're saying, but they're going, she's not listening to us, she's bothering us. You go tell her to go. I'm quite sure whatever words they used, I mean, just the way their mannerism and stuff, she knew that she certainly didn't feel welcome. It's probably quite obvious that she wasn't wanted there. And I say wanted more on behalf of the disciples. I don't think that necessarily applies to our Lord and Savior, because I believe there's a purpose for all this I'm going to try to get to. But she doesn't leave. And then Jesus addresses her. And he tells her that his blessings are for the lost sheep of Israel, of which she's not a part. You know, I haven't come for everybody out there. I've come for the house of Israel. This is who I've come for. And still, she persists. Jesus compares giving her a blessing to casting bread to dogs. Now, many scholars, and I didn't research it out, but it seemed to be pretty uniform that when you look at the original words, when he says, you know, dogs, he's not talking about some mangy, filthy animal on the streets. It means a household pet, something that is of some value that's supposed to be in the home. Though I don't necessarily think, probably, gentlemen, if you know you have a beloved dog, if you were to compare your wife to it, it's going to go over very well, you know, no matter how dear and cute it may be. But that's the example our Lord is using here. Now, I don't know about you, but having gone all this and approaching, you know, my Lord and Savior, and well, you know, giving you a blessing, it'd be like throwing some scraps to the dogs. I think I would just try to crawl away somewhere. I think I would learn my lesson. I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable. But she not only doesn't give up, she challenges him, doesn't she? She's willing to meet what he says. And yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Her faith, I'm happy with your crumbs. Fine, give the house of Israel the meal, just give me the crumbs. That's all I need. She understands and appreciates how powerful, how important, who he is, that your crumbs would be enough for me. She's pretty bold, huh? She will not give up. You know, I have to say, reading, I say, wow. I've read this, you know, many times, that some of the things didn't stick out. One of them that I guess it hadn't really stuck into me before, where it says, where it read over here in, I think it was Mark, that, Mark, where, you know, he was going to hide. I mean, he was trying not to be found. So right from the get-go, she's putting out some energy. She went and found him. However she did that. But we read there in those final verses there, first in Mark, the 29th verse, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. But Matthew adds a little bit more, just like Mark added some of the beginning towards the end. Now Matthew adds a little bit. And then Jesus, and this is the 28th verse, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman. And here's really the crux of this message. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It was her faith. A faith that would not waver. A faith that would not give up. A faith that would not be deterred. A faith that would not be turned away. It would not be discouraged and would not give up. A faith that would wait and continue and persist. A faith that believed that even the crumbs would be more than enough. You know, I find this in complete and stark contrast to the previous chapter in Mark, in the 6th chapter of Mark, where our Lord and Savior, remember, she was not from the house of Israel. She was from outside. She was a Gentile. But in Mark, the 6th chapter, start with the first verse, where Jesus is in his own homeland, people who know him. Here it says in Mark 6, starting with the first verse, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is that which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? You know, we know this guy. He's a little kid. He'd be running around the street and, you know, pointing out people. You know, now he's coming back and thinks he's all that, you know? Who is this guy? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. You know, and from the very first time I ever read this next verse, it stuck with me and does to this day. That we're talking here about Jesus Christ, who's performed all these great miracles, the prophecies of his arrival, all these things and stuff. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Jesus Christ could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Because they didn't believe. They thought, who is this guy? I chased him out of my store when I was a little kid. He's the one that was all, I remember that, you know. All. The very ones he came for, his own countrymen, the people who knew him. But here's this woman who had never met him from outside of the house of Israel, travel however far, and had a belief that wouldn't stop, couldn't be deterred. That Jesus looked upon her and said, oh woman, great is thy faith. be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And so this morning, I consider why Jesus would lead this mother through such a humbling and difficult process before granting her request. Now, while his response may seem harsh, the lesson of being persistent in our belief and in our faith is displayed throughout the scriptures. A time of testing is a common theme. You know, Abraham was tested by being asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Jacob wrestled with God. Joshua had to conquer fortified cities before claiming the promised land. David fought Goliath and lived in exile before becoming king. The Gospels record numerous stories where Jesus tested his disciples. The main characteristic of this woman here is her, and the reason that she received her blessing was her tenacity. With all the odds stacked against her, she pushes forward. When she got knocked down by circumstances, by criticism, she got back up. When others told her to quit because she's wasting our Lord's time, she continued to ask. You know, Elijah prayed 7 times before he saw that first small cloud. Jesus prayed many times. And this woman here continues to pray and to plead. And I believe the primary purpose of this story is to inspire us not to give up because the hill is difficult to climb. I believe the purpose of this, the example of this example, this parable here, this story is, actually it's in a parable, this is recording an event that happened, is to keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking on that door. You know, he said, you know, ask and seek and knock. Reminds me of another account, one more chapter again in Mark, now back to the 5th chapter. We also find this account in Luke, but I'm just going to read the one here in Mark, the 5th chapter, starting with the 25th verse. Mark chapter 5, starting with the 25th verse. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. I mean, he's surrounded by people. And sayest thou, who touchest me? There's people everywhere. It could have been anybody, you know? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Again, someone who believed, you know, this is our first account. If she could just get the crumbs, if I can just touch him. People have such faith that believe in him so much that I don't need the whole pack. Just a little bit would be all I would need. In his own land, it's like, who is this guy? And he couldn't even do anything. You know, Nephi, right from the get-go, right in that very first chapter of 1 Nephi, right when the whole account starts over here, right from the get-go, you know, there are many things he had to encounter, but one of them is the struggle with his brothers. In 1 Nephi, the first chapter, starting here with the 51st verse here. 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 54. But behold, Laman and Lemuel would not hearken unto my words, Nephi writing here, and being grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, I cried unto the Lord for them. And this isn't the first time, and he would continue through. And it came to pass, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, because of thy faith. For thou hast sought me diligently with lowness of heart. And insomuch as ye shall keep my commandments, ye shall prosper and shall be led to a land of promise, a land which I have prepared for you, yea, a land which is choice above all other lands. And then when our Lord walked on this land, in the 3rd Nephi, the 9th chapter, 3rd Nephi, chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. Now he's here on this land, and it says, And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying, he came again to the disciples and saith unto them, So great a faith have I never seen among all the Jews. Wherefore I could not show unto them so great miracles because of their unbelief. Verily I say unto you, there are none of them that have seen so great a things as ye have seen, neither have they heard so great a things as ye have heard. Faith. If you're troubled and struggling in your life, in your families, in our church, is it because of our faith or the lack of it? The scriptures make quite clear that our Lord and Savior, despite all he has, our own personal will can trump his power. That if you don't have the faith, if you don't believe, if you aren't seeking, if you aren't looking, if you aren't anticipating, if you aren't willing to invest, nothing's going to happen. But he said, his own land, he can do any mighty stuff there. When he's in this land, he's saying, you know, he did do many things over there in Israel, but he comes over here. Your faith is greater. You're seeing greater and mightier things than they did. You're hearing more than they did because your faith. And I'll say that the faith is a faith of persistence, of belief. Steadfastness, refusing to give up. We live in a time, I think, in our society even more so than past generations, because we live in such a time of instant gratification. You know, everything's instant, you know. Anytime I want anything, it's boom, 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 boom. This idea of a long, drawn-out, persistent prayer goes against the grain of our nature anymore. Right now, we are preparing for, I'd say, I don't know if anyone here is going to be traveling, but as a church, for the conference. And because of that, there are several days of solemn assembly, fasting, and prayer. And in our day and age, to give several days of that seems like a long, drawn out, let's get in here, sit down, say a prayer, and get on with it, is the way our society works now. But that's not the way faith works in the scriptures. Because God wants to see your dedication. He wants to see how much you're willing to put into it, because he has put everything on the line for it. He left the presence of his heavenly Father and that kingdom there to come to earth and ultimately be sacrificed. He has invested everything. Will you invest at least a little? He was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was beaten, and he was crucified. And I don't think there's hardly anything that honors him more than like that woman or someone else who thinks he's that important. I don't care what they say. I don't care what's going on. I don't care. I just give me the crumbs. Just let me touch that garment. I'm not going away. I'm here. I believe, and I know you can, and I am not going to give up. have to go here, the 8th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 8, I'm going to start here with the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't give up. Don't become weary. Always pray and not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. This is not a good person. He's not a righteous person. You know, he doesn't fear God. He doesn't care about people. All he's interested is in himself. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? That's what our Lord was here. I mean, not only the sacrifice, to find faith. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for faith. And faith is more than it's more than pull on my phone, hit a couple buttons, there's the answer, get on. Faith is more than that. Faith is research. Faith is going out, looking, digging, finding out, comparing, all those things. And that's what it is. Faith is sticking to it, not giving up, being sure of it. And not going to let go. That's what we need, brothers and sisters, faith. True faith, not a belief, not a hope, not a desire, faith. Faith is more than that. Faith means you are convicted, you've got it locked in, you're sure of it, and you're not going to give up. You're not going to let go. I read it's those little things about little example stories you can use, and I filed it away, and today's the day you get to hear this one. I don't know if it's true or not, but there's a story about Andrew Jackson, who was one of our presidents. And it goes like this. It says, some of Andrew Jackson's childhood friends were discussing how surprisingly successful Andy was, considering all his flaws. They discussed other boys who were smarter than Andy. In fact, Andy's schoolwork was no indication that he would become president of the United States. The friends talked about other boys who were stronger than Andy. And one friend said, don't you remember how Johnny would throw Andy 3 out of 4 times when they wrestled? What happened on the 4th time? Another one asked. Another friend answered, I guess that was Andy's secret. He just wouldn't stay throwed. And that's what faith is, just getting back in there. Because you believe and you know. This woman that we read about heard and believed, I don't know how far or what was involved, but went to where he was, that he didn't want to be found, had to find him, search, look for him. His friends, his disciples are saying, no, go away. He's ignoring her. Says, you know, be giving you blessings, like be throwing bread at the dogs. But he said her faith, she got what she sought. Compare that to his own land where Jesus went to them. They didn't go to him. He went to them. And he presents himself. He's not hiding. He's there. He's going into synagogues. He's telling, expounding. He's telling, okay, I came. I'm here. This is what it is. And they say, huh? Who are you? We don't need you. Do you know who we are? We're the house of Israel. And he couldn't do any mighty works there. because of their lack of faith. The very people that he came for, the very people that he's telling them, I didn't come for you, I came for them. That's how important faith is. That even when he was there in the midst and he came for them without faith, he could do nothing mighty. But a woman from outside with faith, he couldn't hold back from. As he told her, your faith is great. It is done as you desire. And so I'd ask you this morning to evaluate your faith. How strong is it? How far are you willing to push with it? Because we live in a society, like I said, that everything's quick and fast. We don't wait on anything anymore. It's boom, if it's not there, move on, find another way, work your way around it, get this here, find someone else, whatever you need to do. But our Lord and Savior that put everything on the line for you, put everything up to and including his life on the line for you. And there's no greater honor I can think than someone who's willing to just hold on to that and never give up. Will not be deterred, will not be discouraged, will not be redirected, will not become fatigued, will not look for another source. Because that's what we need this day, individually in our lives, in our families, as a church. Faith. Because our whole society is trying to tear that down all around us. Everyone's trying to destroy everything that the Gospels teach us. What God has taught us. About the hope we have through the sacrifice of his Son. The world's trying to convince us that there's an easier, quicker way. But God is waiting for you to show that you believe there is only one way. And you will do whatever it takes, and you will not give up. You will not let go. Until you receive that mighty blessing. Whatever it is for you as an individual, whatever you need in your family, or whatever it is we're lacking as a church, that's what we need in this conference, is faith. We have issues, and throughout time there's always been, but we continue to have issues, you know. But we have to have faith that God can, will, intervene, act, and make his will known, and be willing to abide by it. No different than we have to do the same in our own personal lives, to make the changes we need to make, give up the things we need to give up, do the things we need to do. And if we have the faith, it is all possible. Thank you.